The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Hour one, appreciate John Michaels, WCNN, AM 680, The Fan in Atlanta, and a Miami native who was a huge Canes fan. I appreciate that, by the way, that you know, I had a good friend of mine, and I'll say now, I mean, Jamie Newberg, way back in the day, he's a recruiting OG. I can say that about Jamie Newberg, and he was a Florida grad. And it's okay that I say that now because he's retired from the business. He used to try to keep people from knowing where he went, man. He said, I don't want people to think that I'm influencing my commentary or whatever. And I was like, but people can tell when you're not being forthcoming. And so that kind of sets the tone. I was like, I'm going to go the other way, man. I just talk about it. And John does the same thing. He's from Miami, and it does not affect his commentary one way or the other. They're good. From listening to John, they stink. Well, you'll hear that from John as well. I try to be the same way, at least. So I appreciate John coming on. We got more college football talk coming ahead, but right now I'm going to get you up to date.
Everything you need to know about college football every single day. This is CFB 365, presented by Ecoderm. Text Ecoderm to 31996 now for your free sample of Ecoderm pain relief cream and CBD from Frank Thomas. Text ECODERM to 31996 now.
I try to have a policy that I'm not going to have this segment, this news, this headline update segment be just one program. And so I already had two Alabama stories, and then Nick Saban signed his final contract. So I'm going to start with a Colorado story. Their starting quarterback, Sam Noyer, he was second-team All-Pac-12 last year. Now, I don't know what you make of the Pac-12 season, but he was second-team All-Conference at Colorado, and he jumped in the portal. JT Shrout, late of Tennessee, he is at Colorado now, and so just jumping on and spinning around, and the quarterback carousel, just like coaches, says, I want a new opportunity, hopefully in Division I, even in the Pac-12 if possible. I'm willing to go wherever I can play that will help me make better, give me an opportunity to play in the NFL. He just, boom, put it right out there. Everybody, the kids are thinking it. Some of them say it. He did. So Colorado's starting quarterback has moved on. All right, Alabama announced earlier that it has reached a contract extension with head coach Nick Saban through the end of the 2018 season, which will conclude at least, he will be the head coach at least February 28th, 2029. So that's the first Alabama headline. And I didn't have that one when I started, because that was new. I woke up, got out of bed this morning, putting together the show. I was like, oh, Alabama headline. Another Alabama headline. The first one happened over the weekend. Keelan Robinson, who was a four-star recruit, because that's about the lowest you're going to get outside of long snappers and kickers at Alabama. Keelan Robinson was a four-star, and he's good enough size. Not a big kid, but good enough size. And he's a running back, and he played some as a true freshman. Then the weird part, he didn't play at all in 2020, and then in spring got shifted to wide receiver, and then Keelan Robinson's like, yep, I'm transferring. He transferred to Texas. So he wasn't going to play at running back. They told him that. Too many bodies. How about wide receiver? He moved to wide receiver. He looked around and was like, there's even more bodies here. Steve Sarkisian. Hey, I remember him. Y'all need a backup to Bijan Robinson? So off to Texas he goes. That was the first one. Second headline, Now, this is just a kid saying something. He's 17. Alabama received a verbal commitment from 2022 four-star running back Le'Veon Moss. I don't know that that's a big deal worth announcing, but the kid's from Baton Rouge, and he announced for Alabama. And so on the same day that they have a running back heading to the University of Texas, it appears they will at least have one more in the pipeline. So consider yourself up to date. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with more of the Chuck Oliver Show next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. And whenever we have on a team-specific guest now, it's almost like running a business meeting. We have to have old business, new business, proposals, etc. Because I got to catch up on who has either committed, decommitted. And that may be a high school player. It may be somebody in the transfer portal. It may be somebody who has announced he's transferred and he's already on campus enrolled in class. So the roster, it used to have like one day in February, and then you would have like end of May into June a bunch of transfers. That's kind of when it happened. You would sign kids in February, and then you would lose kids at the end of the academic year. Man, it's 366 days a year now. No doubt about it. I want to welcome on now a man who covers all of it when it comes to recruiting, football, et cetera, but specifically University of Georgia, the Bulldog program for Sports Illustrated. It is Brooks Austin. Brooks, how are you today?
I'm doing good. I must be doing something right. I'm here with the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, talking a little ball on a Monday afternoon. Not much to complain about, brother.
Yeah, if I need a publicist, man, you are first in line. So let's cover old business. There was a commitment, kid out of Texas, committed to Georgia, Bear Alexander. He's a defensive lineman for next year's class. He has decommitted. Is there a story, or is it just one of 100 kids who may decommit over the next month?
Yeah, it's just one of those things, man. I'll tell you what, he's a big nose tackle out of Texas. And from day one, the people that I spoke to around this one and sources close to the situation, it was, let's just see it get to the dotted line in December. Let's get it there. Until then, I'm not really going to believe it. It's something about Texas kids. Georgia will continue to recruit them, but they will never feel safe about even a commitment like the one that Bear Alexander had. So, this is a kid that I'm sure they'll still recruit. They'll still go after. They'll still talk to him. But this is him opening things back up and getting back on the recruitment trail for sure. But was never a commitment that, like Gunnar Stockton. Now that Stockton's in, he's in. He ain't going nowhere. They feel comfortable about that one. He's turned more into an ambassador for the University of Georgia. Whereas from day one of Bear Alexander's commitment, the people I talked to was like, yeah, well, we'll see when it happens come December if his name ends up on that dotted line. This isn't a process to recruit. This is a kid that just decommitted from the University of Georgia. This wasn't him being pushed out. This is him trying to explore other options for sure.
All right, if we look at kids who are in the program, there was a vacuum of talent off that roster, specifically in the secondary, mostly to the NFL, a little bit to the University of Miami, whatever. The vacuum of talent off the roster from the secondary last year. Kirby, I'm going to add Keely Ringo to this because he's basically a new addition to the program, as well as two transfers at safety and Darian Kendrick, who might be a first-round corner. I don't know that it's possible to respond to a real pressing need for a title contender any better than Kirby and that staff did, filling out, and like I said, I'm going to include Kelee Ringo, four additions to a secondary that desperately needed some talent infused.
You know, I think if you're going to give Kirby credit for one thing, it's his ability to react and respond in a quick manner. I go back to December 7th in 2019. You know, just after the SEC championship game, he loses Sam Pittman as an offensive line coach to Arkansas to be the head coach. And within 48 hours, he brings in what is without a doubt at that point the best candidate in Matt Luke to be his offensive coordinator. I mean, in 48 hours. And then this spring, you know, not just defensively, he loses six defensive backs and recuperates as much as he possibly can with extremely talented, like all American-esque caliber players, especially in De'Aaron Kendrick and Tyke Smith. But then you lose George Pickens in spring practice, and he immediately reverts his attention to somebody that could possibly, if possible, fill the shoes of a guy like Pickens and Avery Gilbert. So, yeah, his ability to react on his feet, respond on his feet, but not only that, not just go get bodies and go get fillers, but actual impact, drastic impact for football players like this. I think you can do nothing but tip your cap to what Kirby's done this offseason. And not only that, just all the roster management, but the coaching staff management too. And you gotta give credit to the athletic department and putting their money where their mouth is. But keeping Dan Lanning on this staff was not easy and was not cheap. So for the most part, I mean, Kirby Smart's pretty much had a flawless offseason in terms of his execution of what he needed to do.
Do you know what either the recruiting pitch, the angle from the staff to Gilbert was, or do you know what maybe resonated? Because it wasn't, hey, look how we use the tight end. It either had to be a promise that, hey, you will use him, or it had to be that Gilbert and his mama and everybody else were evaluating something other than how many catches did the position have last year.
So, I mean, I don't think they even recruited him as a tight end because I don't really think, Chuck, that that's what Avery Gilbert wants to play or even needs to play, if I could go that far. I mean, this is a guy that's built like a tight end, sure, but he's been playing wide receiver and using a wide receiver skill set since he was 12 years old. I mean, these kids nowadays, they grow up in a 7-on-7 environment. Another tight end, quote-unquote tight end, they had on campus this week for an official visit, Oscar Delp. I don't see Oscar Delp lining up on the end of the line of scrimmage and blocking defensive ends in the SEC if that's where he ends up. I don't see that happening. I think the evolution of college football, as it's removed outside linebackers and taken them off the field and added a fifth defensive back, well, that happened because tight ends are now becoming split tight ends. They're working from within the slot in red zone situations. They're working on the outside the numbers, and using their big bodies and learning how to run routes like wide receivers and get in and out of breaks and things like that. So I think that was more of the pitch. Like, look, you want to play wide receiver or be used like a wide receiver? We already have the end-of-line tight end guy that we need in Darnell Washington. He's 6'8", 270 pounds. He can do everything you can't or don't want to or aren't willing to do. So don't worry about that. Come in here. We'll label everything. We'll tell everybody and their mama that you are a wide receiver. We will do it that way. We will recruit you like that. And guess what? George Pickens was slotted to get about 65 to 70 catches to you know, maybe 90 targets this year. And that target share is now gone. So guess who's going to get it, or guess who we're going to try to get it to? It's going to be you. So come here and do this and play for the University of Georgia. And all the meanwhile, stay close to home.
All right. I don't mean, Brooks, to be ridiculous here, but I'm going to make a comparison because I saw the kid. Finally, I heard so much about him. Like, he's playing for Marietta High School, which honestly, like where I sit right now is a tee shot and a four iron, okay? So I was like, all right, I'll go watch a playoff game. I've seen big tight ends who run fast, and they go, oh, he looks like a wide receiver. And I'm like, no, he looks like a big tight end who runs fast. Gilbert looks like a wide receiver who happens to weigh 250 or whatever, and it's almost like Calvin Johnson. And I hate to throw something like that on a kid, but he does run like a wide receiver who is just in the wrong body.
The guy I kind of recall him to or compare him to would be like Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis was the same exact physical specimen coming out of college. You're talking about a guy that's 6'5", close to 6'6", pushing 245, 250 pounds, and has that, what you're talking about, moving like a wide receiver. That's what I see. I mean, yeah, you can say Calvin Johnson. Calvin was a lot more of a linear prospect, a lot more stretched out, yep. Bigger wingspan. This is more of a compact, if you can possibly be compact at 6 foot at 6'5". That's what A-Rick looks like to me. He looks like Vernon Davis. And honestly, if Vernon Davis were reincarnated to be a sophomore in college in 2021, well, yeah, he wouldn't be want to be called a tight end either. And Chuck, I wouldn't want to be called a tight end because being called a tight end in the NFL means a pay cut. Tight ends do not get paid like wide receivers. That's just the financial aspects of it. But I'm here to tell you, I don't care how much A-Rick Gilbert calls himself a wide receiver. I don't care how much the University of Georgia calls him or uses him as a wide receiver. If Kyle Pitts enters the NFL with that T-E next to his name, just about everybody in football is going to be entering the NFL as a tight end. So, yeah, that would be my comparison.
You know, it's almost like what you're saying with Kyle Pitts. He's almost like a big slot. I mean, that's really what he's going to be.
That's what I call him.
Yeah.
Yeah, super slot.
All right, let me ask you about the offensive line real quick before I let you run. And this is not a complaint because they have been really, really good. They've been really, really solid. When it's like a room full of 4 stars and 5 stars stacked up like firewood, you know, 2012 Alabama, that's a little much as a comparison, so that's off the table. But by golly, they're supposed to be better than they've been. And I have yet to see a Georgia offensive line come out and just blast open holes 12 Saturdays like you're kind of expecting at some point that offensive line turns into. Tell me just in general what you think about what I just said.
So I think you're 100% valid in terms of your, not necessarily concerns, but your questions. And I'll just address last year. I thought last year what you saw was an offensive line coach trying to establish his identity and what he wanted to do, whereas Sam Pittman wanted to recruit these big, monstrous, Ben Cleveland-esque type of football players, right? 6'6 and above, 315 pounds and above, road graders, guys that he wants to go out there and punch defensive linemen in the mouth, whereas that's never been Matt Luke's MO. It's never been his history as an offensive line coach and even as a head coach at Ole Miss. He's much more of an athletic-based position coach. He wants to have guys under 315 pounds. He wants to have guys that can move, get involved in the screen game, get outside on stretch zone and pull and do all that schematic stuff that's too boring to talk about on the radio. He wanted to do that, but didn't have the bodies to do it. So what you started to see as the season progressed is these bodies start to morph into what he wants them to be. I think we had an article on Dogs Daily where in 2019, the average offensive lineman of those starting five was 6'5", 328 pounds. This past year, they were 6'5", 318 pounds. So in a calendar year, you saw him shed 10 pounds off of each individual kid per average. So I think that's what you saw. But for me, I do have questions in the sense that they're going to open the season September 4th against who I think is unquestionably the best front seven in college football next year. And I don't particularly think it's really close. What Clemson's going to have in that box September 4th will be hands down the best thing Georgia plays. And right now, sitting here today in the middle of June, they don't know who their left tackle is, Chuck. That's a problem to me. Now, they have answers. They have potential solutions. But they're going to have to be making a first career start at left tackle or one of those interior guard spots. And I think that's what they select to do. I
absolutely agree with you with that, Clemson. Skowski and then maybe the four first-team All-ACC linemen all at Clemson. Brooks, great 100%. Stuff, brother. Appreciate your time, man. We will get you on again soon, man. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon, Chuck.
All right, Brooks Austin again from Sports Illustrated, lead editor for Dogs Daily. Again, at Dogs Daily SI. He is Brooks Austin SI. And it's not a complaint. And it's more just an observation of that should be a little more. And you know what a little more for any position group of Georgia is? Like probably top five in America. It's just a little more from the offensive line because they've been really good. And I don't know that we've had, believe me, folks, I've seen plenty enough Saturdays myself where I'm looking at the offensive line going, did they practice this week? That you don't have that as a Georgia fan. But you know the coolest feeling? As a coach, a player, a fan, whatever, is when your team is running the ball and you and everybody knows you can't do a thing to stop it. And they haven't had enough of those, especially on like third and two, fourth and one. It is just an observation.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
King of college football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
I tell you all the time, 9 states, 51 sticks. Well, of those 9 states, Oklahoma is not one. And of the 51 sticks, we do not extend out that far. But even though we're like Louisiana up to Kentucky, East Coast, Florida, big circle there. And you know where it's going to be, south, deep south. You can't really talk college football, even in our footprint. You can't talk college football unless you talk Notre Dame, unless you talk Oklahoma, unless you talk Ohio State. There are some other programs you have to include. Clay Helton, God bless him, he's trying to make USC, like he's yelling USC. Maybe, coach. But certainly Oklahoma, and I'm actually going to put our next guest to work a little bit because he is a specialist on OU, covers them every day, Sports Talk 1400 there in Norman. But I want to welcome on right now Tyler McComas. Tyler, let's start talking Big 12 in its entirety, if you're up for that.
I am. It's just a crime that you're not out of the state. I'm going to do something about that after we get off the phone here. I promise you, Chuck.
Letter-writing campaign, okay?
Letter-writing,
which nobody's done a letter-writing campaign in about 20 years. I want to talk about just because we're going to talk OU because there's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. I'm like, what happened to Kennedy Brooks? But I need to talk Big 12 first because, you know, I even catch myself, and I do college football all day, every day. Even I have to remind myself this isn't exactly the Big 12 of 5 or 10 years ago. I want you to kind of just cover who the coaches are today that makes what this conference is on a day-to-day basis a little different. You know, offensively, nobody plays defense, like, you know, scoring points aplenty. That's what it was. I say that the Big 12 has changed over the last 5 years or so.
Dramatically. I mean, seriously, dramatically. I mean, we're talking about Oklahoma this year is going to have a better defense than it's going to have an offense. It helps that Iowa State, who's been irrelevant really throughout the history of their program, is playing really good defense right now. Texas is maybe starting to turn the corner and start playing good defense, but you've got Gary Patterson, a TCU offensive mind. Even Oklahoma State now. I mean, we're not that far off from OU and OSU playing a 51-48 football or a 51-50 football game, you know? And, you know, games that were in the upper 50s and the 60s, and now OSU's playing pretty good defense. West Virginia's playing good defense. Kansas State, Baylor hired Dave Aranda.
Yep.
They're going to have a really good defense this year. So, yeah, 5 years ago was all about the offense, but, man, I could make the argument that if not half the league, maybe more, are actually going to be better on the defensive side of the ball than the offensive side of the ball, and that's because of all these new hires that these teams in this conference has made.
All right, let's talk about OU then. And Kennedy Brooks, I thought that he was one of the big stories because he opted out of last season. I was like, that's a really good football player, folks. And when his backup transferred to Ohio State, he's like, what's he leaving for? I was like, well, he may, you know, because Trey Sermon may be a top 25 back in America, but he's behind a top 20 back maybe at OU. Where is Kennedy Brooks in his spot on the depth chart? Because they got a transfer from Tennessee that everybody's in love with.
Well, and this may not be the last transfer we're talking about. Kevontre Bradford into the portal, former four-star running back from LSU.
Yeah.
And I think that there's going to be a lot of mutual interest there. I really do. If not him, if other backs are in the portal, I think OU is going to go after some of those guys. They need a body at that position after Seth McGowan had, you know, got in trouble and he's not on the football team anymore. So where is Kennedy Brooks in the mix on this? Well, he is well behind Eric Gray right now. And last time I talked to you, he's going to be the number one back. He's going to be the number one back in week one, and I'd be shocked if that changed at any point during the year. You've got Mikey Henderson, who was a tight end H-back last year. I think that he's probably going to be your number two late game back, which leaves Kennedy Brooks in a really weird place where I'm just not sure, unless there's big injuries at that position, that he's going to get that much run. And I know that his resume looks good. He's had 2 years where he's rushed for over 1,000 yards, and you can't take that away from him, and I'm not trying to. But he ran behind two unbelievable offensive lines, and you've got to take that into consideration. If you watch the film, it just doesn't pop out to you, really. You know, I mean, he had really good numbers, but you go back and look at Kennedy Brooks' film and say, okay, the numbers look good, but this just doesn't look like one of these historically great running backs that OU's had. Now with the year off and the spring game a little over a month ago, he just didn't look like a running back that was ready to contribute for a team that's gearing up to try to win a national championship here. Situations can change over the summer and in a training camp. I'd be surprised if Kennedy Brooks is a huge part of their run game this year.
And talk about the coach a little, because Lincoln Riley, that's another thing. I'm like, folks, Lincoln Riley loves to run the ball and get the running backs involved in both facets of the offense as much as any coach there is. We just pay attention because when you have first overall picks or Heisman finalists or Heisman winners or, you know, whatever, that's going to catch our eye. But I'm like, folks, you know, why would Eric Gray go to Oklahoma? I was like, because he could be a Heisman finalist.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. He's that game-breaker type of back that they really don't have in the room this year, and they really didn't have it last year outside Ramondre Stevenson in the second half. So, yeah, he's going to be able to run between tackles. He's going to be able to get on the outside. They'll throw it to him in the run game. If Eric Gray, if he wants to showcase himself as a complete back and a guy that wanted to play for a winner this year, Oklahoma is his spot. And he's going to step in. He's already stepped in immediately and asserted himself as the best running back on this team. So when OU's been the most competitive in a playoff game this year, I mean, it's no surprise. They had incredible success running the ball against Georgia in the first half of the Rose Bowl, college football playoff semifinal. And once that running game kind of died off in the second half, that's where Georgia made their comeback. But, yeah, OU still wants to be, even with the great quarterbacks, even with the great wide receivers, they still – make so many big plays in the run game, and it's a huge reason why since Lincoln got here in 2015, they've been one of the best offenses in college football. They're not an air raid offense like you've been trying to tell everybody. They're a team that still wants to run the football first and set themselves up with second and short and give them chances to go deep down the field, and that's why they've just been – that's why they've been great, because they get 6-7 yards on first down, then they can take a shot deep down the field with some of these burners they have on the outside, and huge reason why they've racked up so many points over the course of the past 5 years.
Overall, if you just look down at the numbers for Spence Rattler, that's a really good season, and it was. It was better late than it was early as far as maybe some decision-making, quickness, et cetera. What did you see evolve? Because he was still good early, but it looked like he really got some command, like on a string towards the end of the season.
Yeah, didn't help that he had 10 drop balls in the end zone last year, which by far and away led college football for quarterbacks. I mean, catch half those, right? How much difference does his year look if he has 5 more touchdown passes? Looks a whole lot better for sure. Just being comfortable in the pocket, decision-making. He was really making some bad decisions early on in the year. I think a lot of that was because of his offensive line play. I think a lot of that was because of his wide receiver play. I think a lot of that was his running back play. I mean, he is going to be judged. He was judged last year. Moving forward, he's going to be compared to Kyler and Baker, which really is unfair in itself, but especially because Kyler and Baker had first-round wide receivers out there. Kyler and Baker had Joe Moore a winning offensive line. Kyler and Baker had running backs that are playing right now in the NFL. And Spencer Rattler really didn't have that last year. So the situation wasn't the same. But as the year went on, his decision-making got a lot better. And those turnovers that found him on the bench during the first half of the OU-Texas game, man, those really disappeared down the stretch. And he was playing some really, really, really good football. I'd argue the best game he played all year statistically may have been his worst game against Oklahoma State, because he just looked like a game manager. He just looked like a point guard for a basketball team that knew how to distribute the ball and get his playmakers in the best situations. And he was awesome in that Bedlam game, and really the reason why they came away with such a major win.
Wrapping up with Tyler McComas. Again, get him on Twitter at Tyler_McComas, host of The Rush on Sports Talk 1400 every afternoon, 2 to 6 out yonder, talking OU and Big 12. Lincoln Riley, I heard a little less about him to the NFL than maybe in some previous off seasons. What's the general feel around OU and the program about where he'll be in 2 years, 5 years, 10 years?
Totally secure. He doesn't strike you as a guy that is looking elsewhere right now. I think he is really just focused on getting over the hump and winning a national championship. A lot of his legacy here kind of depends on that, you know, because he's going to win a whole lot of games. He's going to rack up a whole lot of conference championships. He already has, and he's going to have more Heisman Trophy winners. But if you want to be in the same breath as Bob, if you want to be in the same breath as Barry Switzer, then you're going to have to get over the hump at some point and win a national championship. I really think that that's where all of his attention is headed right now. He wants to be in that list right there. He wants to be in the Killer Bees, Bud, Barry, and Bob. Lincoln wants to be in that group, but he can't do that unless he finally wins one of these playoff games and wins the national championship. If you gave me an over-under on 8 years, I'd take the over now, and I actually feel pretty good about that, Chuck. I really do.
All right, last thing. We're on a bunch of places in the state of Florida. Real quick flyover of if Miami gets the best Charleston Rambo there is, what do they get? What does that look like?
That's tough to say, because I don't think we saw that too much around here in the past. Look, Charleston Rambo is a burner. He's really fast. His role last year, they were hoping it was going to be similar to that of Marquise Hollywood Brown, who's making a ton of plays in the NFL right now for the Ravens.
Yep.
But Rambo had a drops problem. I mean, I just told you about all those drops.
That's what reminded me of him.
Exactly. A lot of that was Charleston Rambo, and he fell off the depth chart, and the reason why he transferred is because he wasn't going to get to play this year. If he can get over that, then I think he's got a chance in an explosive Miami offense to put up a whole lot of numbers, because he does. He has the speed to get behind these defenses, and maybe this change of scenery has reignited him. It sounds like it has, man. He had an awesome spring and an awesome spring game. I hope we see the best of Charleston Rambo, but what does that look like? That could look like one of the better wide receivers in the ACC. And that, like, the product hasn't been great to this point, but the potential is there. And if Manny Diaz and that staff down there can get it out of him, then we may be talking about a first-team ACC guy at the end of the season.
All right, Tyler, good stuff, brother. Appreciate you making time coming on. Thank you.
You bet. Anytime.
All right, Tyler McComas again, Sports Talk 1400 out there. And, again, you can't really talk college football without – including OU and Ohio State and a few others in there. And so we always check in, whether it's with Hale or Tyler McComas or whomever, and keep you updated. And plus, there's plenty of players that you know that were either recruited from the South or from SEC, ACC programs, et cetera. And it's just, there's weirdness out there. In fact, Dan, you're from Texas, so maybe you have some insight on this. Like, I've talked about what Tennessee and Alabama isn't anymore, that game. What do you think OU, I'm talking whether it's the fan base and maybe more than just the fans, maybe players, program, whatever. What's the view of Texas from Norman, Oklahoma right now? University of Texas, the Longhorns football program. What's that view from Norman? Are they amused?
There is a little bit of enjoyment that things are down, but they also enjoy when things are up there in Austin, and they're still able to get them. The beginning of the Mack Brown era when Chris Sims was there comes to mind, example, where every year it thought going into that series in Dallas that it was going to be, this is the year, finally. Then Roy Williams happens. This is the year Teddy Lehman happens. All those different types of things all come into play. But, yeah, no matter what, Chuck, it's Tuberville at Auburn, and no matter how good things were going, it was still, little brother and big brother up there, and they were still able to get over on them. But yeah, I mean, the hatred by one side is definitely by one over the other. Chuck, I mean, watch just a normal OU Saturday afternoon game. They could be playing against TCU. They pan into the stands after a first down or a touchdown. Horns down. You're still seeing people doing horns down, and everybody's like, you're not even playing them. The hell are you doing it for?
Do you ever watch, have you ever watched Young Sheldon? Do you know what Young Sheldon is?
I mean, I'm familiar with it. I've watched it, no.
It's a pretty funny sitcom, which
right.
Pretty rare thing. It used to be the staple of what made up TV is you would have 30-minute sitcoms. Now it's really rare to find one that gets any traction. Well, Young Sheldon's on CBS, and it is the younger version of Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory. Well, long story short, he grew up in a East Texas small town, and his dad is a high school football coach. In one of the episodes, and he has a twin sister, and they're second graders in this episode. One of the episodes, his father, who's the football coach, gets offered a job at the University of Tulsa. When he tells the family, the second grade girl snaps her head around and says, "That's in Oklahoma. We don't like Oklahoma." And that's the entire mentality of it. And I was just wondering how much Oklahoma is – I know they're paying attention to it. It's too big not to. And when you meet neutral site, I get it. But it's almost, you know, like, don't you remind Alabama fans, hey, this is a big game, so get there early. You have to remind Georgia fans about the Tech game, don't you?
Sure. No, you do. And look, that's natural in a rivalry, is there's always going to be one side who feels superior to the other and one side that feels inferior to the other. Chuck, let's just take, for example, baseball, for example, Red Sox, Yankees. Even with the Red Sox finally breaking the curse in 2004, they still very much have a seething hatred for the Yankees and still look at the Yankees as they're the evil empire. They're the ones that will spend their way out of their troubles when you do it now, too. But the point is even though they're pretty much equals now in terms of what they've been able to do recently, it's always going to be there. And look, Oklahoma's going to be that to Texas. Auburn will be that with Alabama, to your point, Georgia. Tech with Georgia. I mean, that's the natural part of a rivalry.
Again, at some point, and it's not a good point, by the way, at some point, a Clemson fan, you got to remind him, no, this is a big game. We don't like the Gamecocks. That's a tough place for a rivalry to get. All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back, wrap up on a Monday next.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Eric was out there working and throwing and doing everything that he needs to do. I would put him in bubble wrap right now. Keep him out. Whatever needs to happen to keep that knee healthy for early September against Alabama, because if they want any chance to keep that game close, they have to have a healthy De'Eric King.
John Michaels, WCNN Atlanta, was on talking about the Miami Hurricanes. He's from Miami and big Canes fan, and so he's our media source, one of them. And he's right about De'Eric King. I mean, I'm not going to overstate this. It's not exactly the same thing, and it's a rough estimate. But the 1999 national championship game in New Orleans, I believe, it was Mike Vick, basically Mike Vick against Florida State. And that wasn't what it was. There are a lot of really, really, really good football players on that Virginia Tech team. But the reason that they had ascended to an undefeated season and the reason they had a lead in the third quarter, and I'm going to try to get this score right. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's like 41-29 maybe was the final, something along those lines. They had a lead in the third quarter. It's because of Michael Vick. And there were a lot of other really good players on that team, and because of Michael Vick, they had, well, that's De'Aaron King. If there's any sort of any possibility that on September 4th, I mean, I don't know, you had the Miami team chaplain before, the, and David picked up the stone and he slung it. I mean, maybe that's the speech you give in the locker room before you play Alabama. But if you don't have De'Aaron King, it's not going to matter. So Jake Garcia or was that Van Dyke or whomever, they're good enough on the offensive line, and they're good enough and deep enough and diverse enough. Man, they got different sort of running backs in the backfield that on a lot of Saturdays, I think they're going to be able to kind of mash some people. They'll be able to chew up some grass. Not against Alabama. And it's a little much. And so you would have to have De'Aaron King healthy and right and playing at just an elite level. So that's going to be my closing argument. Brought to you by the law offices of Alexander Schnarr and Associates. Doesn't matter where you are, man. You can be in Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, wherever. If you're in the Deep South and need legal expertise, what you need is Alexander Schnarr and Associates. Dan, how are you?
You know, and we'll continue the Texas theme here because that's where I wanted to go to end the show today, and that is with Steve Sarkisian. Chuck, are we aware that there is a distinct possibility? There's that word, distinct possibility, you know. Kind of feel like Donald Sutherland in the movie, Animal House. It's a distinct possibility. But there really is a chance they could go 0-2 to start the season. That game against Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana is not going to be any easy shakes. And then, no. Oh, by the way, you're going to go to – we were just talking about Texas and OU. The hatred to the east in Arkansas is not – that much less either. The Razorbacks still hold on to that Southwest Conference hate.
They're a tougher out now than they've been.
And exactly. Mm. And going inside that building there in Reynolds Stadium there in Fayetteville, that's not going to be easy. That could be something for Steve Sarkisian that, of course, everybody – it's kind of like what I said. If Georgia wins that game against Clemson, then everybody's darling. If they lose that game, it's same old Georgia. For Texas, it's going to be – if they start off 0-2, it's going to be, is Steve Sarkisian the right guy for the job? Weather the storm, because the addition yesterday of Keelan Robinson cannot be understated in what they were able to add with already a guy who I think is one of the best backs in college football and Bijan Robinson and what he is going to be able to do this year for Texas. And also as well, I was incredibly impressed by what we saw out of Casey Thompson in that bowl game against Colorado. Now it's a bowl game. How much is necessarily the effort there on both sides of the field? But
plus, he may not have been able to really think about what he was going to have to do.
Yeah, a lot of reaction.
I mean, it's one of those, get in the game, son.
That's it. And look, for being that, he definitely showed up and showed out in his opportunity. Hudson Card is another guy, too, that I think is going to be somebody that really gets going. I think if nothing else, my overall arching point with Steve Sarkisian is even if they're 0-2, 1-1 maybe, or who's to say they don't come out of that 2-0 and everybody's saying, hold on now, you might have something there in Austin with Steve Sarkisian. It's going to be just be patient, let it work. And with those four names that I just mentioned there, the base and at least the foundation is there for Steve Sarkisian to be able to build something up and make the offense into what people hope that he can make it into in Austin. That's a huge addition for him, and it's something as well that when you're going into a season, I forget who said it on this show about players and how good they are, saying, well, nobody ever necessarily said, I have too many good players on this side of the ball. That's at least a good problem for him to have in the early onset.
Yeah, and if he goes 2-0, I'm going to tell you right now, he won't get credit enough for a 2-0. That will be a better 2-0 than he will get any sort of credit, and Texas gets credit for. You're right, playing Raging Cajuns, and that's a veteran, well-coached squad. The Arkansas game, it's on campus. It is. It's not the A&M game where they meet in Jerry World. And so that's heritage, man. That's college football history there. And so that's awesome stuff.
And it's not Little Rock either.
Oh, no. So, all right. Wraps it up for a Monday, folks. Give me 22 hours. I'll recharge those batteries, I promise. Be back this time tomorrow with more college football conversation right here on Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.